According to Damaris Carbaugh, who you become depends on who and what you love.
What you need more than anything else, if you want to have victory in your life, if you want to know Jesus Christ really well, if you want to please Him, you will never be able to do that unless you become a person that loves the Word of God.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walkemuth, co-author of Seeking Him. For October 3rd, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. So Nancy, I want to put you on the spot for just a moment if I can.
Okay.
Okay, you trust me. Have you read your Bible today?
Well, in fact, I have. And I had the sweetest time in the book of Micah. So I'm just having such a sweet time. These are some hard passages I'm in right now in the Old Testament, those prophetic books. And sometimes I'm like, you know, what is this really saying? Yeah. What does it really mean? But taking the time to reflect on it and read it prayerfully and thoughtfully and then to write down what it says, what it means, it's a great exercise, but it's also been so fruitful and enjoyable for me. Yeah. I love it.
So it all matters. Even those hard passages matter. My husband's been trying to read through the Bible in 90 days just because he said I've never done it quickly so that I have this good like overview of everything and how it fits together. And he says if you read the Bible in 90 days, it takes like 70-something to get through the Old Testament. It's a lot of Old Testament.
It's a big chunk.
Yeah, and a lot of hard passages in there. But
and I think sometimes we just focus on the ones that are, you know, that are like dessert.
Yes.
They're really easy to digest and desirable and fun, but we need all of them. And a lot of Christians really have never actually read through the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. So that's a great challenge, whether you do it at a slower pace like I'm doing right now or at a faster clip the way Bob is. We need it all.
Yes, we need it all. We need it. Sometimes we need it a verse at a time. Sometimes we need a big chunk at a time. But what we're going to be talking about is the importance of every day having a daily time in the Word of God and spending time talking to God about what you've read.
And that is crucial. Just not that we need it all, that we need the Word, but we do need it every day. And there are different ways to take that in, different ways to do it. Sometimes listening to the Scripture being read on a favorite Bible app or reading it yourself, reading it aloud, just different ways. But every day, I need food every day, and I need spiritual food every day.
Beautiful analogy. Yep, beautiful analogy. So all this week, if you've missed some of them, go back and get those past programs or read the transcripts at reviveourhearts.com because we just really want to help you push reset on your love of the Word. In fact, today, I really believe is going to do that in a powerful way.
Yeah, our sweet friend Damaris Carbaugh is going to keep encouraging us on these lines. This is a message that is a life message for Damaris. As long as I've known her, which has been many years, Damaris has been a woman of the Word. And you're going to hear that as soon as you hear from her. If I could summarize her life, maybe what would be on her tombstone someday, it would be three words: read the Bible.
Yes.
Read the Bible. And she does. And it's changed her life.
Yeah.
And just yesterday, someone was telling me how her message at Revive 19 was such a highlight for this particular woman and many of her friends. So I'm so glad that we're able to air it this week.
Me too, Nancy. Now, Damaris is a singer. She and her husband, Rod, live in Brooklyn, New York, and they were both with us for that conference, the theme of which was Seeking Him based on a Bible study written by yourself and Tim Grissom. Let's listen in. Here's Damaris.
Oh my goodness. If you could lose weight crying, I've lost like 30 pounds. This weekend, this morning when I was trying to put a little eyeliner on, I noticed my lids were swollen because I've cried so much. And I cry easily all the time. One of the funniest things that ever happened is I cry so much and over everything and anything. One time I'm in my bedroom and I'm crying and I'm just crying and my son walks in, he's about 15, and he walked in with two ties because he wanted to ask me which one. But anyway, I'm like, and he goes, he sees me crying and he goes, which one, Ma, this one or this one? Like it didn't move him at all that I was crying. So I just cry. And just because you cry a lot doesn't make you spiritual. You're just dramatic. One of the most precious people God has ever given me the privilege to meet is Nancy. And I'm not, just hear me out here, because she knows I'm not trying to elevate her in any way. But this is a woman who I feel has wanted to seek God ever since she's a little girl. And she doesn't cry very often. And I cry all the time. Nancy has given me the privilege and the task of speaking to you a little bit about the last chapter in the Bible study of Seeking Him. What a wonderful title, Seeking Him. Do you know that we all know how to seek? Nobody has to teach you how to seek. Last night, there was a little one-year-old, I think, or she looked tiny, one of these little babies here. And she was over there, and she's just walking, like, she was ready to come up the stairs. Because that's what she wanted. She was seeking the stairs. And nobody had to teach her. You know, nobody went up to her, little girl, this is what you do when you want to go up the stairs. There's something in you that you know how to go after what you want to go after. And may God help us and show us that He's the one we need to seek. Amen? But the last chapter in the Seeking Him Bible study is called The Personal Devotional Life. And it's a beautiful guide to help you get started if that's something you have a problem with, your personal devotional life. And if you think you're going to get a formula from me, you think you're going to hear me say, when I get up every morning at 5, if I'm up at 5, it's because I haven't been to bed yet. It's just the way I am. But the personal devotional life, and I, when I was given this task, I wrote like a little summary, and I want to read you this little summary, and then I'll tell you what's on my heart. But I pray that my time with you will shed some light on the importance of having a personal devotional life. And there's that word, it's personal. The Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus is a person. The Father is a person. I love the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. It is a personal devotional life. And I want God to help us see what that life, that personal devotional life, ought to produce in you and in me. Nancy writes, and this is such a wonderful sentence, above all, listen carefully, it is through the written word illuminated by the Spirit of God that we come to know Christ, the living word, in a deep and personal way. God made us in His image. We know that. He made us persons with a mind, emotions, and a will. And by this, we can say that God, too, like I just said, is a person. God has a mind, God has emotions, and God most definitely has a will. I was reading in Jeremiah, I have to interrupt myself. I'm the only person that I know that interrupts herself. But I was reading Jeremiah, second chapter. You talk about God having emotions. God says, through the prophet Jeremiah, what did your ancestors find wrong with me that they abandoned me? Talk about emotions. Our God has emotions. I'm glad. Because sometimes I don't know what we're thinking. He has emotions, and He most definitely has a will. And you know what God wants? He wants us to know Him. Can you say amen? Jesus said in His prayer in John 17, and this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. His written word, the Bible, will show you who He is, the great I am in Exodus. His written word will show you what He has done. He's the creator of everything. Beautifully said in many places, but in Colossians 1:16. His written word will show you what His will for you is. And you know what? More than anything I feel is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the next one, we don't like that much. And your neighbor as yourself. But that's really, you get those two and you're doing pretty good. But God's Spirit is the only way we can truly know Him. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:6 about his ministry. He says, God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's not just the word, the written word, in the sense of it's not just these this word and that word is that word. It's that word, this word that we read, coming to life by the power of the Spirit. You see, the Pharisees were very aware of what the written law said, yet they rejected the Son of God. In Mark 7, verse 6, Jesus says, and he said to them, well did Isaiah say, prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It is important to remind ourselves that we are still very capable of being like those Pharisees. Please understand, the minute you become a Christian, you are very prone to become a Pharisee. You kind of have this, you would never say it like that, but you just kind of have this, I got this. Be very careful. And when Jesus says things to them that we read that bother him, please open your heart and say, Lord, do I bother you like that? Do I bother you? It's important to remind ourselves that we're still very capable of being like those Pharisees if our devotional life becomes just a dry, routine, going through the motions kind of exercise. It's impossible to emphasize enough this truth, that we cannot know Christ unless the Spirit illuminates the living Word, which is Jesus Christ, to us. When the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus said, he will guide you into all truth. When I look at that verse, I rejoice. I become so happy because Jesus promised to send the Spirit. And Jesus kept his promise. And we know the Spirit wants to guide all of us into all truth. Can you say amen? Remember, the Spirit is the helper who will tell us what he has heard from the Father, from the Son. God wants us to seek him. The story of Mary and Martha, we love that story, don't we? I remember one Bible teacher once saying that we talk about Martha and how she didn't really, you know, she didn't have the heart like Mary. But she says, but if I ever want to go to somebody's house, I want to go to Martha's house. Because she cared. The truth is, she really did care. But what I want you to see here is, I'm so grateful for the way Jesus told Martha that the stress of trying to do everything right, have you been there? Was keeping her from choosing what Mary chose. Jesus clearly called what Mary did good. And what exactly was Mary doing? Nothing, as far as Martha was concerned. Isn't that the truth? But Jesus said that what she had chosen would not be taken away from her. When you decide to seek him, he will not let anything or anyone take that away from you. Isn't that sweet? But the million-dollar question is, do you want what Mary chose? Let's take a closer look at what Mary did. She didn't take out her journal and Bible. Because, well, there was the scriptures. Whenever you hear the word the scriptures in the New Testament, it refers to the Old Testament because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. So, but she didn't take out a journal, and I'm not criticizing you if you journal and you journal a lot. I have a journal. I've had it for 2 years and it's half full. So once in a while I write in it, but that's just not kind of what I do. She didn't do that. Mary just wanted, listen to what she wanted. She wanted to listen to everything Jesus had to say. She wanted to hear what he had done. She wanted to know what was on his heart and mind. She wanted Jesus. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think she didn't care if he ate? You think she didn't care that he might have been tired and needed some refreshment? Do you think Jesus would have rewarded laziness on Mary's part? Do you think Mary was actually sitting there looking spiritual, like, but inside going, I don't want to do anything. Jesus is, nobody's wiser. Jesus knew her heart. She wasn't trying to get out of work. She was lost in who Jesus was. Do you get lost thinking about him? Jesus longs for those whose hearts are completely captivated. Does he captivate you by who he is and by his beauty? And then the memory verse in the Seek Him Bible study for this chapter, the memory verse is this, Psalm 27:4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And then these verses came to mind. And so I tell you in Luke 11:9-13, so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Even if what you need to ask this afternoon is, you know what, Lord? I may not admit this to anybody else, but you know if I'm seeking you. I don't even want to seek you. I might say I do, but I don't want to. But God, I'm asking you. It says ask. I'm asking you to get a hold of my heart and give me a heart that seeks you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you know, one of the first times I read that, I remember that this verse says, seek, knock, ask. But I forget that the last thing it says is, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When was the last time you said, Holy Spirit, I need you? We're usually asking for this and that and good things. I'm not saying we want wayward children to come back to the Lord, don't you? But not too often am I just saying, Holy Spirit, just give me everything I need to walk. Like I said, what's walking? Living, to live in a way that pleases you. What does your devotion to Jesus look like? It says the personal devotional life, that devotion devoted, completely devoted to Jesus. Do you feel defeated in this area of personal devotion to him? Is reading the Bible a chore to you? Is prayer something you tend to put off unless there's a crisis? Is being in his presence a joy? Do you yearn for his presence? Jesus knows the answer to every one of these questions, and the good news is, listen to this, he knows those of you who don't really want him that much. Good news is this, that he still invites you to seek him. Even if you don't want to, you need to. You know that. So seek him. I promise you, like we kept repeating, you will find him. John 5:39 says, and this is, pay attention to this verse. You search the scriptures, this is what Jesus told the Pharisees, because you think in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I believe sometimes we commit the same error. We go to the scriptures like, okay, I read, check. I answered that question, check. Meanwhile, the scriptures, the purpose of the scriptures is to take us to Jesus. That's what Jesus said. They point to me and you won't come to me. How many times have we done the scriptures but not come to him? The Bible was written to reveal to us who God is. May we heed the advice Jesus gave the Pharisees and may we come to him. God also said something very interesting. And this, I was talking to Dana. We were talking about the talk. And so I was saying, Dana, you know, something that has hit me is 1 Corinthians 8:3 says this, but if anyone loves God, he is known by God. It's like God is saying, I know that person. Now, when I read that, I thought, well, wait a minute. God knows everybody. Amen? But I feel like this verse is saying those that really, really, really love him, it's like he says, oh, I know her. I know her. I feel, even when I read that, that he wants you to make yourself known to him. Remember when your child was little and they were telling you a story in the cutest way and you knew all about it. Like, you knew exactly what they were. But it was so cute, the way they spoke to you and the way they talked to you and the way they said it, that you just get joy in listening to them tell you whatever it is they're telling you. Are you with me? Do you know what I mean? But that child is, in a way, showing you how they are, the way they speak, the way they breathe, the way they say it. My son he couldn't say his THs. I would on purpose want him to say words so that I could hear his Jonathan. And he would say, there was a waitress in a diner that we would go to. Her name was Kathy. But he would go, "Hi, Kathy." And she would go, "Oh, say it again." And he didn't understand. He's like, you know, he's like 2 or something. "Kathy." I'm not really being silly, but I just feel like even when you say, "Oh, Lord, I love you, I need you, I'm pitiful, but I'm telling you the truth." I feel like the Lord goes, "Come here, honey, come here. Talk to me some more. Do you not know that he wants you? He wants you. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? He wants us. And he wants you to come to him with everything. First of all, he knows it, so why are you hiding?" It's like sometimes, I don't know, sometimes we just get phony, even with God, who knows it all. The Word of God is so important because the Holy Spirit uses it to illumine your mind. People that loved God and walked with God. Don't you read sometimes biographies of people that had like an amazing walk with God and makes you jealous in a good way? You know who makes me jealous? Enoch. What is up with Enoch? Oh, he journaled. There wasn't even a Bible. But we've been saying the importance of the Bible. So when I was telling this to my husband, I was saying, the Bible is the only thing that will start showing you how far you are and how near you need to be. The Bible is the only way that you'll understand how your mind is off, how your mind needs to be renewed. The Bible is what tells us that there's a Holy Spirit, that there's a Father. The Bible tells us all these things. And then I'm telling my husband, and Enoch didn't even have a Bible. But so my husband goes, "So what are you trying to say?" Because it's like, and I'm like, "What am I trying to say?" You see, of all the speakers, I'm the one abnormally born. But let me tell you what I mean. It's the Bible that tells us about Enoch. And Enoch walked in such close fellowship. What? That God took him. Oh my goodness. What did he do? I have no idea. I'm serious. There's no synagogue. What did he do? Well, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that he actually prophesied about the judgment that was coming. So there's a little fire in him too. He's coming to judge, and oh my word. But there must have been something about him. There must have been something about this man that loved God in such a way that God said, "Come on." It's the Word of God that has given me a desire to know what in the world was Enoch like. It's the Word of God. Here's the verse. "For the Word of God," some of you know this well, "is alive and powerful." Before I even finish, your personal devotional life totally depends on you being able to spend time with his word a lot. I want to say every day, but there are some Sundays. I will tell you that there are some Sundays that I get up early, get ready for church, choir rehearsal, church happens, we read the scriptures on the PowerPoint, and we look and we open up our Bibles in the service. But there are times when Sundays is actually a day that I may not read in the sense of the way I normally read. But what you need more than anything else, if you want to have victory in your life, if you want to know Jesus Christ really well, if you want to please him, you will never be able to do that unless you become a person that loves the Word of God. Because look what the Word of God does. It's alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. Now listen carefully here. It exposes, don't miss this, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Don't miss that. It exposes your thoughts and desires. Sometimes the greatest revelation you need is to understand the condition of your heart. Can you say amen? Your thoughts, your desires, he knows them. And when you're ready to let truth, Christ, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, when you're ready to let his truth expose your truth, and you come to him holding nothing back, he will receive you and he will give you all that you need to be completely devoted to him. The Word of God healed me many years ago. I was insanely jealous. Insanely is putting it mildly. I was just married, and my husband worked for a Christian television network. And everybody that worked in that place looked like they were ready for prime time. Do you know what that means? That they all looked beautiful. All the ladies there looked beautiful to me. I was very insecure, and I got very jealous. And if you were pretty, I did not like you. And I want to tell you something, that it got so bad. It got so bad, my mind got so crazy, that I scared myself and I took myself to a Christian biblical counselor. And I sat down and I told her that I was very jealous and that my husband couldn't look at anything too long. If he looked at this microphone here, she's little, she's just hiding in there. That's how I felt. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I would have dreams that my husband was unfaithful to me. And I'd wake up from the dream and go, crazy, crazy. So I went to see this counselor and I sit down and I tell her everything and I talk. And when I was done, she said, "Are you done?" And I said, "I think so." And you know what, she very sweetly, I always want to repeat this because she didn't say it with a mean spirit. You know what her first words out of her mouth were? Damaris. That's my name, by the way. Damaris. Not Demetrius. Not Dionysius, the Areopagite. It's Damaris. But anyway, she went, "Damaris, I rebuke you." In Spanish, it sounds even. In Spanish, it's "yo te reprendo."
Oh my goodness!
But she said it in such a sober, and I don't know how to tell you this. Only God can hit you with love. With love. And she said to me this, "It is obvious you are not a woman of the Word." And I wasn't. And she says, "And here's what I'm going to tell you to do. You and your husband are going to start reading the Bible together. You choose how much, how little, you choose what." She didn't even give us where to go. You two decide, sit down, start reading the Bible together, and your husband will close in prayer. God healed my mind as I began to eat the Word of God. Amen. You want to have a wonderful personal devotional life, you need to love His Word. And you need to let His Word show you what's wrong. God's Word is still changing me, and it's still changing you. And it's showing us every day to seek Him. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, You are real. You sent Jesus. Jesus, You are real. And You promised us the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, You are real. And Your Word truly is powerful. And it does expose our thoughts. How wrong we are, how far we are, how confused we are, how in error we are. And yet Your Word also tells us that You can straighten us out, that You can heal our minds, that You can save our souls, that You can wash our sins, that You can give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's Your Word. Thank You for Your Word, and teach all of us how to have a real personal relationship with You every single day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.
That's our friend Damaris Carbaugh. And Nancy, isn't she passionate about the Word of God?
Yeah, I just love her heart. And anytime I get around Damaris, I want to love Jesus more. I want to be more in His Word. I'm encouraged and challenged and inspired. And I hope that's happened to you as you've listened today. And what one thing could I do to grow in that personal relationship with Jesus and with His Word as Damaris has been challenging it?
Absolutely. You know, your first book, Nancy, A Place of Quiet Rest, has also encouraged me to soak in Scripture over the years. It's such a beautiful invitation to prioritize time with Jesus and just to be refreshed. That's why I'm excited to offer the brand new 25th anniversary edition to every listener who donates any amount this month. To give, visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. Be sure to request A Place of Quiet Rest when you do. Now, don't forget, Quiet Rest, a 30-day Bible reading challenge, kicks off on Monday. When you sign up, you'll receive 30 days of Bible study inspiration straight to your inbox. The goal is to get into a rhythm of daily study together. That way, when our year-long Bible reading challenge rolls around in January, we'll be ready to go. You can sign up for the Quiet Rest Challenge at reviveourhearts.com/challenges. Also, on Monday, we'll be talking about intimacy with God right here on Revive Our Hearts. I hope you'll come back and join us. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.